everybody. You're listening to the Sunday Sermon for Sunday, the 2nd of July, 2017. Well, you're very welcome back to the sermon if you're a returning visitor. Pull up an old chair, I'll stick the kettle on, and there's biscuits galore. Some of them, the nicer ones, are not going to be out here. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm saving those for special people. But you, in your own way, are a special person, I'm sure. And maybe there's some houses where they do break out the nice, extra nice biscuits for you. I'm talking about the sort of biscuits you reserve for, you know, if an ambassador's calling round to the house. And I know it's a trick question because they eat Ferrero Rocher exclusively. That's all they eat. They don't have anything else. Morning, noon, night, Ferrero Rocher. Or, you know, say, Bishop's coming over. Or Bill Pope, the cinematographer, he's popping in for a chat. Good biscuit people. So if you're one of those good biscuit people listening, in this scenario, you're getting the good biscuits. If you're a regular listener, it's usually the demographic for this is worryingly headbanger heavy. I'm not sure what they're getting out of it, but if that's your deal, and you've friends with tattoos and the like, and boy, am I ever going to have a go at tattoos in this episode. I saw a bad one the other day. I can't get it out of my mind. It was basically somebody making their belly button look like a rude body part. I won't dwell on that. We've got so much to talk about this week, so we're going to jump straight into the sermon. Your parents and grandparents are beyond your command. The times, they're not a-changing. That's right. You know what I'm talking about, of course. The march against the repealing the 8th happened yesterday in Dublin, and it was a huge success. There were 80,000 people there, the average age of 80, and 80 the amount of days left in their average life expectancy. And good on all of them, because they came from all over, giving up work that they, you know, Saturday jobs that I'm sure they all have, paying their own way, using their free travel pass, to show up to Dublin as one, to tell the kids in one voice, ye can all go fuck yourselves. The smell of change was in the air, and the Zeitgeist barometer was reading 100% chance of revolution. Suddenly, I was taken back, way back in time, to a similarly crazy summer, and a concert that was to change my life and an entire generation. Vietnam had just beaten Guam 11-0 in the AFC Asian Cup. A little film called Chicken Run was giving Mission Impossible 2 a run for its money at the international box office. And the Red Hot Chili Peppers were playing Ireland for the umpteenth time that year. A wet behind the ears 70-something priest had been banned from all MCD events and venues due to a lifelong habit of storming the stage and berating the crowd. This time, however, he went undercover as a young headbanger. The he and this is me, it's Quig. His plan, my plan, Quig's, to assure the public that Concord, a company for whom Quig happened to have some shares, was better and safer than ever, despite a flight the previous day having just crashed while taking off from Paris and misplacing 113 lives. But I had a backup plan too. To pelt an orange directly into the whole part of Flea's trumpet during one of his many interminable freestyle jazz performances. These were the musical equivalent of a public act of self-flagellation, and Quig was having none of it. See, Flea had recently hugged the limelight at Bob Hope's 90th birthday party by barging in with his glorified tin whistle, ruining my toast to Bob, which involved a very funny play on his name, Bob Hope. His name Bob Hope, now, so remember that. And it's based around the phrase, "Hope you have a nice birthday." See? Delightful. So my plan was, I'm going to throw an orange into the trumpet. It will constrict it and explode. Flea's trumpet and mouth probably explode, and in the ensuing confusion, I'm going to rush the stage, grab the mic, and talk about how one blip in 27 years of aeronomics is, if anything, a miracle, and just shows what a great company Concord is. after cruising past security with my Irish flag cape and take me to your dealer t-shirt I'd confiscated from the TYs, I pushed my way to the top of the mosh pit and started practicing throwing oranges onto the stage. It was then that a goon from security shouted at me to cop on. "I will not cop on, I'm a priest, I'll do what I want," was my reply. "But these security lads think they're above the law." Time was, if you laid a hand on a priest and as much as upset a crease on his jacket, best case scenario for your bucko was life without parole. So as the security goon approached, I thought fast and started throwing the oranges at him, hoping that he'd realise I was not a regular breed of concert headbanger he was used to dealing with. Unfortunately, pelting him with oranges only made the security lad more angry, and he called for backup and he started charging at me. I thought fast. I took off my Irish flag and used it as a sort of a matador's cape, which he, the security goon, instinctively charged at. More fool him, for a quick thinking quig had placed the flag in front of a load of actual headbangers, who took exception to the security man crashing into them, and a big fight broke out. I did never get to throw an orange into Flea's trumpet that day, but a part of me learned something much more valuable. I'd need to buy a taser. Anyway, there was a similar atmosphere yesterday in Dublin in that story that I just told, and the march, and then that they both happened in Dublin. 90,000 people, did I say 80,000? 90,000 people descended to the capital to tell the progressive trendies that the older generation will kill to stop bodily autonomy for women. Now, truth be told, there wasn't a lot of marching going on. Because of the physical requirements of the marchers, they would have to perambulate right, left, right, left, and that just wasn't going to happen. We had planned on getting a huge carpet everybody could stand on or sit on, that would then be towed by a tractor around the city, but unfortunately a willing driver could not be found in time. Now, there were some young people there, but they were mostly tisking and eye-rolling at us old-timers. They were, you know, seemed to be in a hurry. They didn't want to spend any time with us at all, so presumably on their way to the malt shop or the arcade to blow their allowance on bags of caramel and games of ball through the hoop. But what is it, I wonder, these young people? What do they think we are up to? Do they think we're just trying to wreck everything? Absolutely not. What do we know that the young people don't? Well, I can only speak in hypotheticals, but my hypotheticals have a strange track record of coming true, a lot like my sermon on September 10th, 2000, when I prophesied from the pulpit that something bad might happen someday. And a year and a day later, I turned out to be 100% on the money, so much so that I was dubbed Father Nostradamus in the parish newsletter that I edit. But look, now, what's this new hypothetical that you're saying to us, Quig? Why aren't we allowed to repeal the 8th? Well, two words. Alien tourists. You see, alien tourists might visit Earth. And if they do, they mightn't like our increasingly headbangery ways. And instead of leaving just, you know, a negative Yelp review for Earth, they might just blow us all up, lads, you know. So, in the event of re-establishing contact with these alien super-being holidaymakers, in the event of first contact with these space lads, there is a small delegation of 5 humans selected to represent Earth. There's Ban Ki-moon, Malala, Professor of Space Stuff, and more importantly, former plastic ivory tickler with chart toppers D. Ream, Professor Brian Cox. Due to some confusion that we were too embarrassed to back down from, the actor Brian Cox is also there, and representing the interests of industry and the Vatican, the Quigster. Now, if these aliens ask, what's a 8th Amendment, what am I supposed to do? Lie to them, like that time I told them I was King of Earth? Well, they can see right through that, believe you me. So no, I don't think we should do a page one rewrite on what it is to be a hospitable planet, or indeed a nice nation. Like so many of our problems, this is one that can be shunted off to England, just like that God-bully Dara O'Brien, or that filthy smut peddler, Terry Wogan? Now, should we march against the aliens threatening to blow us up? We could, but having lots of people concentrated in one spot will just make it easier for them to kill us all. So, in conclusion, leave the 8th be, just like the room of someone who's ran away from home. No good can come from changing a thing. Let's just let everything be, stay the way it is for forever, and together we can give these alien holidaymakers a vacation they'll never forget. I'd like to talk today about a story I read in the paper about a man who drank 2 pints of whiskey before shooting his friend in the face with a shotgun, and how he has been given a suspended sentence. And, well, I'm not going to lie, folks, I think that's just great. At long last, we have a bit of legal precedent for what I like to call party fouls. Now, you see, a party foul, that's when everyone's having a great time, and then they're having a little bit too much of a great time, and then someone ends up getting upset because they've been shot. Now, we've got a good legal precedent at long last for people in this situation, because who amongst us hasn't drank 2 pints of whiskey and then gone to get a shotgun to show off to your mate while you're watching Sons of Anarchy? A show synonymous with people who, make good life decisions, such as watching all the Sons of Anarchy. I'm not talking about the multiple Sons of Anarchy tattoos. It's your body. You can do what you want, except if you're a woman, in which case, stall the ball on there a bit now, love. Look, obviously, if a woman were to drink 2 pints of whiskey and then shoot her best friend in the face, that would be murder one. Murder probably driven by jealousy. Maybe they're both in love with the same sweetie. Or maybe they're fighting over which one of them loves Jason Donovan the most. That sort of thing. But if it's a rational argument or a rational accident between two men, like these two buckos or Dick Cheney and his friend that he shot in the face, I mean, come on. Who amongst us hasn't gone off to get a big gun to wave around at our friend's face while they're trying to watch a show, which, if memory serves, is like King Lear meets Easy Rider? That is to say, something boring meets something else that's boring. And a lot of people like Easy Rider, not me. I'm a priest and I don't condone that sort of business at all. What sort of business is that you talk about, quick? Well, I'll tell you, the film has a sort of a criminal deal in it that ends in a double cross. Don't double cross somebody if you're doing a criminal job with them. You're only going to make a little bit more money and you could go to jail for 20 years, so it's really not worth the risk. I think more people should take a leaf out of the friendship book written by these two pals, these two middle-aged buckos who enjoyed nothing more than sitting down, drinking pints of spirit and watching their favourite show, Sons of Anarchy, starring the most charismatic actor of all time, Thingamy Watsit. Yes, a man who makes Tom Hanks look like Skeet Ulrich. Who? Yes, you may have seen Thingamy Watsit recently burning up the screen in the biggest hit of the summer, King Arthur 2 on the Rocks. And Thingamy Watsit, he has a fantastic command of the cameras. He's got this intensity, like he doesn't want to be there. And this guy, he's not just not good at acting in dramas, he's done it all. Remember that Seth Rogen sitcom from the early 90s, Undeclared, where Thingamy played Jay Baruchel's roommate? And you'd think someone like that, a cool, good-looking guy, wouldn't have much to contribute to that particular comedy ensemble. And, brother, you'd be right. But every young one, you know, the young ones, that show from the 80s, with Rick Mayall and all that, every young ones needs a Mike the Cool Guy. And he was really that for that show. And God alive, let's all stop now for a second. Just remember some of Mike the Cool Guy's most favourite funny lines from our favourite lines of Mike the Cool Guy's from the young ones. There were some. What was I on about again? Oh yes, Sons of Anarchy. So, in summation, run, don't walk to your nearest iTunes store to buy Season 1 of Sons of Anarchy. And don't forget to enter the code QUIG to get 1% off. And that's about it for this week's podcast. Please like and share and do all that stuff on your social medias. The support you give this show is hugely appreciated, but let's face it, we're not absolutely burning down the iTunes ratings. Look, there's lots of good podcasts out there, and not all podcasts are just interview podcasts. There are a lot of them, and they're good. But I think we're doing something a little bit different here. And sure, I could do an interview podcast. I could say, oh, hey, how are you doing, Ray Romano?
How are you doing, Quig?
I'm good. I hear you have a new movie coming out.
Yeah, it's with Kumail Nanjiani. It's called The Big Sleep. I play Zoe Kazan's dad.
Oh, very good. Her dad was Ilya Kazan.
That's correct.
All right, well, thanks. Ray, do you have anything to say? Before I sign off here? No, I'm not going to do that anymore. Okay, it was me all along. I was Ray Romano. You busted me. This isn't an interview podcast. This is a Sunday sermon. So, if you like it, please tell your friends. If you don't have any friends, get some friends. They'll add 30 years to your life expectancy. And you can develop and really sow seeds of friendship through this podcast where an old priest tells you what to do. So, hope you have a good week, and until I talk to you again, God bless you, God bless me, and please rise for the homily. You've been listening to the Sunday Sermon Podcast by Giles Brody. You can follow me on Twitter at Giles Brody. Special thanks to Conor O'Toole, Emma Keaveney, and Jeremy O'Brien.